But Peter said, "Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God." And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, "Tell me whether ye sold the land for so much." And she said, "Yea, for so much." Then Peter said unto her, "How is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out." Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in, and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles, and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors, and brought them forth, and said, "Go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life." And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning, and taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came, and found them not in the prison, they returned, and told, saying, "The prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keepers standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within." Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, "Behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest asked them, saying, "Did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space, and said unto them, Ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. Now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. And to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Two ways, O man, before thee lie, that lead to just two places. One narrow, to the throne on high, that many a cross embraces. The other road is smooth and broad, but does not give the peace with God, and leads to utter ruin. The testimony of the apostles that's recorded in this passage demonstrates these two ways. We see the high priest and the Sadducees, the teachers of the law, rejecting Jesus Christ, having accused him falsely and sent him to die on the cross. They did not want anything to do with him, and continued to resist Christ's followers as the work of the Holy Ghost and the truth was being shown forth to them right in front of their faces. They chose the broad way. And it doesn't even occur to them to turn around. They have not tasted the goodness of the Lord. They have not prepared their heart to hear the words of Jesus Christ, to humble themselves to see their need for salvation. But the others, the apostles and the believers, they have tasted that good gift of God through Jesus Christ. They've heard the word of truth. They have experienced the testimony of his word at work in their life. They have found forgiveness. They have obeyed from the heart that word that has come to them. And God has provided his Holy Spirit to lead and direct them. And we see time and time again with those for whom it is like this, it doesn't even occur to them to turn around. But they press forward. They continue on, despite hardship, despite the persecution. They know the truth. And Jesus has told them, and Jesus tells us, to know the truth. The truth will make you free. They knew the truth. They saw Jesus Christ. They heard his teachings. Their hearts were filled with the joy in their Savior. And knowing and having tasted the goodness of God, had an appetite to continue on in the faith. Some are afraid to taste. Some are afraid to taste and see that the Lord is good. And they have no indication or no understanding that life could be different. But are as these Sadducees that continuously kick against the pricks, fight against the truth, and resist the things that they know, and they believe and they understand with their mind. They could see the miracles, but they still asked for a sign. What sign do you need? What proof has God not laid forth clearly in his word? What expression of God's love and truth and faithfulness is lacking? There's nothing lacking on his part. He has given us all that we need. But he calls us and asks us to believe the things that we know, to allow what God has revealed to make an impact on our attitudes and our life, that we might obey him and be given that Holy Spirit. We need God's help to open our eyes to this, to open our eyes to the truth. And God can do that. God can provide all that we need so that we can see with eyes of faith the things that we know so clearly that maybe we've even learned from Sunday school or hear from the children that learn in Sunday school, and it's so beautiful to hear them express it with such simplicity and faith. We also just need that simple faith, trusting and believing what we have come to know of Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. We don't need more. We don't need something extravagant or fancy or complicated. These apostles and disciples were simple men, common men, but were granted a great gift, just like all of us, that we could hear the truth, and they responded in faith. They were instructed to go and stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And they went immediately. They went with joy. They went to the temple and taught. They taught about Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. and there was power in their teaching to convict souls of their sin, to call them to repentance and acknowledging the truth. This is the core of their preaching and their teaching. Jesus Christ, Him crucified and Him raised from the dead, and His promise of the Holy Spirit that was given to all those that believe. Their testimony could not be stopped by prison doors, by persecution. They continued on. They were delivered from the challenge that they experienced. And some fear to take a step of faith. They fear to go along that straight and narrow path that leads to the throne on high because of the many crosses that it embraces. And they fear, I will not be able to bear the cross. The truth will set you free. And all who have come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ know that recognizing the truth that no, we cannot bear the cross on our own. We cannot live up to the call of God in Christ Jesus on our own. What poverty, what weakness is ours. But for the grace of God and for the truth that the message that is calling us to embrace the cross is one of salvation and that God has provided a way through Jesus Christ. Just that message alone tells you that He loves us, that He cares for us and will provide for all that we have need, even for the crosses that lie ahead. And you cannot do anything about the crosses that you refused in the past. But you are responsible to bear the cross today for the choices that you make now. Peter said, we ought to obey God rather than men. We ought to hear the commands of Jesus Christ. We ought to listen to the still small voice of the Holy Spirit as He teaches us how to crucify the old man day by day. They knew the truth, and Peter testified the truth. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with His right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Even in the acknowledging of the truth of their guilt, Peter extends a bridge. The bridge of repentance and forgiveness that is offered by God through Jesus Christ. That we would wisely choose between the two paths that are in front of us. It is a path that embraces the cross. That is the path of following our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we find that in this path, there is much weakness that the world perceives. To be merciful and to be humble, to be trusting in the Lord, is often perceived as weakness, to take wrong, to be hurt, to forgive, and to not hold someone to pay for their debts that they have incurred. To lend to others and don't expect anything in return. Often this is seen as weakness. And Apostle Paul acknowledges in his letter to the Corinthians that we're weak in Christ, but through God, through God's strength, we find in his ways and his teachings, that these are the ways that God exalts. Him hath God high exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior. We follow Jesus in his path of obedience to his Father, simplicity of life, weakness according to the world, but a name that is highly exalted to God. And we anticipate and we look forward to the fulfillment of all God's promises, when with Christ he will raise us up also at the last day. We have that faith, and we believe that is the truth, and it gives us hope and courage and reason to press on, because we trust in the living God. Our faith is active, and we would be witnesses. We would be willing to testify of these things. The Holy Ghost was also witness of these things. And the Holy Ghost reminds us of these things day by day, teaching us, remember the path that Jesus walked. And remember, he was victorious over death and the grave. There is no other path that will find victory after this life is over, but in following the steps of Jesus Christ, our Savior. The Holy Ghost can remind us of that each and every day. He was witness and testifies of Jesus Christ in his words to us. God has given the Holy Ghost to them that obey him. What a precious gift that God is willing to direct us and our path when we acknowledge him in all of our ways. That's a promise that we find in God's word. And he has provided abundantly that we might hear and that we would have him close, for we need him each and every hour in this path of carrying the cross. When we recognize that we cannot on our own have the strength and the help, we look for one to help us. When we are at work and a new challenge comes up that we never anticipated before, that we don't have any experience with, we look for someone who knows better, who is capable and able to give us guidance. If everything that we had to do was something that we were familiar with and easy, we would probably be willing to be on our own and not look for any help. But the way that this world is, and the way that we are, God has made it such that there will come a time when we will hit something that we don't know. We will hit a challenge that we are not prepared for. We will encounter a temptation that we cannot overcome. And we wonder, we come to this very difficult experience and hard time, and we can wonder, why did God do this? Why is it so hard? God wants us to seek him. Without the challenges, we would easily and quickly forget him. I speak for myself first. How easy it is to get caught up in the routine of life and the way things always are and not pause to seek the Lord, to ask for his help, and to remember what Jesus Christ has done for us and the help and strength that's available to those who ask and seek and knock. Gamaliel gives great wise counsel to the doctors of the law that are gathered together as a council to, intending to slay them as they had Christ Jesus. He talks about what happens to those who follow the broad way, those who follow men and obey their instructions and their personalities. And he gives two examples from history and what happened. And it's good and wise to learn from history what has happened in the past. What happens when people get so excited about this great new thing? And then after that initial excitement wears off, where do they leave? He says they end up being dispersed. This is true. The countries that come, the empires that come, the cultures that come, everything that's developed by man comes and goes. All the fashions and the interesting things that get brought up, they seem so new for a time. And then we look back at the old fashions that they had when our parents were around, and we think that's a little bit silly, isn't it? Because they come and they go. But Jesus' word endures. The Bible says that man, his life is like a vapor, like a little puff of steam. It's here and then it goes. It's quickly passing. It's like the grass that we see livened up outside. It's bursting with life and vigor. But come this August, it's going to be so dry. It's going to be ready to be cut down. And you wonder, why does God even care? If it's going to just dry up and be ready to be cut down? But do you know that? Do you know that God cares and provides for your needs, even though your life is short? The grass is ready to be cut down and thrown in the furnace. And God still, to the very moment before it's cut, he's providing for it. He's investing in it. He's looking for you and me to seek for him. And to turn away from the things that our hearts invent, whether it be fears or questions about what we can't handle, or the excitement about the things that we'd love to enjoy, all the things that man puts in front of our, that we put in front of our face to rejoice in, it's all going to quickly pass. But if our faith is in God, if our lives are as Jesus instructs us, to hear the words of Jesus Christ and to follow his commandments. If it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. Jesus said, the one who hears his words and does them, I will liken them to a man that built his house upon the rock. And the rains came and the floods rose up and beat against that house, but it stood firm, for it was founded upon a rock. Do you think Peter and the disciples remembered and cherished that sermon? as he heard, and the Holy Spirit reminding him of Jesus' words, he said, yes, it's true. Step by step, down the road that God has placed us on, may we find that God is faithful in all things. May we remember often what Jesus Christ has done for us, that he is to be highly exalted, a prince and a savior, has granted repentance and forgiveness of sins. Thanks be to his name, and may we also take the example of the apostles that have gone before us to see the faithfulness of Jesus Christ and his patience and how he worked with them and provided them help for their every step and season. May God bless his word.
Jesus said, unto what is the kingdom of God like, and whereunto shall I resemble it? It is like a grain of mustard seed which a man took and cast into his garden, and it grew, and it waxed great tree, and the fowls of the air lodged in the branches thereof. Jesus Christ said, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. It's going to grow, and it's going to be great. And this is the fulfillment of it, what we read here this morning. It says that we read in verse number 14 that the believers were added more to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. The church grew. The word came forth. They preached Jesus Christ, and they taught both in the temple and from house to house. And it grew. And these men tried to stop it, but they weren't able to stop it. That's the power of the word, because Jesus said that it would grow. And they said that they should no longer preach or teach in this name of Jesus. They were doctors of the law, the Bible says. Doctors of the law. But in reality, they were apprentices in knowing who the Lord was. They didn't know who God was, and they didn't know the Son whom God exalted to be a prince and a savior and to give forgiveness to the people. They didn't know who Jesus Christ was. They didn't know who God was, though they carried the title doctors of the law. The word of God grows, and it will grow because Jesus said it will grow. So may the Lord bless us, each and every one, that the word of God would grow in our hearts individually and then collectively through us as we yield ourselves to the Spirit. Amen.